Hello, and welcome to the media ministry of Living Word Church in Roberts, Illinois. Today, Pastor Douglas Lee shares truth from the Word of God that will inspire and motivate you. We pray that as you listen to this message, your ears will be open to hear and your heart to receive all that God has for you. Join us now as we journey together through God's Word.
Well, it's a happy day to be together. Amen. You can be seated. I want to tell you something about honor. This morning, you've honored the Lord well. You know, we live in a place where if you're going to do church, you've got to be intentional. We live in a hardworking region. We live in a high-tax, high-cost region. That's no secret. We live in a region, if you're going to live here, you have to be intentional. That means there's a little bit of fight, a little bit of stubbornness in it, and I call that little bit faith. You know, on our worst day, we can call it a little bit of stubbornness. But, you know, to do something for the Lord, to honor the Lord, we live in a world where so much works against that. That even I watched this weather forecast setting up, and I said on Friday, I said, oh, no, that will not hit us until Sunday evening, because we're going to have church. Well, on the way in the truck, we heard a little hitting precipitation. And Lucinda said, I think that's ice. I said, I see snow. And I was hearing the ice, but I was seeing snow. It's kind of mixed. But you know what? We choose to honor the Lord. This morning, there's folks that came from Champaign, from Bloomington, from Bourbonnais, from Frankfort. I mean, if we can, if we plan well, and we pray and believe God, and we want to, we can honor the Lord. Now, here's something that I know, and we honor the Lord, and I'll tell you that Lucinda and I are honored when you honor the Lord and you come out. We're blessed by that. That's the key way you honor the servant of God, is the same way that you honor the Lord. You come out and want to put him first. But when we do that, he has a way of responding to our faith to give us more than we expected. I want you to have that kind of faith in the Lord today. What I know is whenever we press in and we're intentional with him, he responds the same way. And think of it this way. When we press in, we break through resistance. When God presses in, he breaks through into our life. So be expecting for God to intentionally invade your space, bringing good things to you. That's who he is. We're in a new covenant. We know that he always intends to move for our good. Now, as we come into a new year, you know, God's calendar says the new year's in the fall, and I pray a lot in the fall. But when we come into the new year, into January, I believe that we charge our mind, our thinking, up with the plan of God. We program our thinking to line up with how God thinks. And when we do that, our mouth begins to line up with what we're thinking. And when our mouth begins to say things, the scripture teaches again and again and again, the people of God will have whatever they say. Well, we learn to line up what we're saying with what God is thinking. So we're going to focus on a little bit today about what God is thinking, what God is saying, what God intends, because scripture says we can know that. But today we're going to charge our thinking with God's thoughts. And I start with a scripture from Jeremiah 29:11 that my pastor wrote in a card when I had eighth grade graduation. He came out and he wrote in the card, but he pulled me aside privately and he said, may I speak into your life? And my pastor in those days was about 70. He had retired 3 times and been back in the ministry 2 times, one to start the church that we attended when I was a young child. He pulled me aside. He said, understand the plans that God has for you are only good. Whenever you get in trouble, you need to go to God, and his plan will correct what's not good. Well, I believe that about life. I believe when we start experiencing difficulty, we need to go back to the drawing board, which is God. The drawing board isn't our own thoughts. Our own thoughts without God will get us in trouble. But when we get in any kind of trouble or we want to stay out of trouble, we go to God. And I've learned he could get me out of trouble, but what he likes better is to keep me out of trouble. I like it either way, but I've learned I prefer just to stay out of trouble. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans that I have for you. And this is God speaking. He has plans, plural, more than one good plan for our lives. And he says, they're thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end. In other words, God's plan always is good. And we want to spend enough time with him to find out what that is. And as we come into the year, I believe that anybody that lines up with fellowship here lines up with the prayers of this church. We're a praying church. In fact, I believe over this year, we will be pronouncedly more praying, because we're going to find God moving in accordance with prayer, because we're going to pray out His will. We believe that the Holy Spirit lives in us when we accept Jesus as Savior. Because of that, when we pray, if we're listening to Him, we can pray the will of God. Well, I know that when I pray the will of God, I'm going to have whatever I say, because it's His will. And He says whenever we pray His will, we can have that. So I believe that. I want this morning to rely a little bit on inspiration and stir up your heart to believe that God is the highest authority in your life. When we come to church on a Sunday particularly, we are acknowledging, God, I put You first. When He's in first place, we move into first place with Him. He responds to us always in the way that we respond to Him. So this morning, in honoring the Lord, particularly as we set up for a new year, you are saying we're putting God first in our life, and He's going to keep us in first place. That means that you don't have to wait on the blessing of God to increase in your life, because you're putting Him first. Now, I choose to be an easy believer of what the Bible says. I encounter people once in a while and say, well, I just don't believe that part about that. And I look at them kind of pitiful. I say, well, why would you not believe something good? Well, I just don't know if that's for today. I said, well, the Bible says you're going to have what you believe in your heart. Don't you want to? Well, I don't know. I'm not convinced. I think, man, go to church where you're going to get convinced of something. And it convicts me when I hear that. I say, Lord Jesus, help me be convincing when I bring Your word. And what I recognize when I pray that and I say that is the Holy Spirit is the great convincer. And if we will be tender toward Him, we become easier to convince. Now, I want to go from this to recognize that our destiny, Colossians 3:3 says that it's hid with Christ Jesus in God. That means we have to be intentional to find it. I remember when the Lord said to plant the church in Roberts instead of one of the population centers, what He told me is I want it to be intentional for those that go to church there. I said, well, Lord, why don't we make it easy? He said, easy doesn't get the prize, intentional gets the prize. So I want you to know that you're in a place where God intends to bring prize into your life. I like to think of it as any kind of prize is good when it comes from God, even surprise. And I look forward to why He doesn't bring anything that isn't good. That's who He is. Now, we want today to take a text. We jump off in Jeremiah 29 because He's talking about destiny there. And most people, when they come into the new year, are focused on resolutions and doing things better. I determined at the beginning of the year, I don't do a lot of resolutions, because that's in my own strength. And I ask God for supernatural strength and ability, because I don't rely on myself, but I rely on Him to do anything that's going to be significant. I recognize in my life as a Christian, I have to overcome resistance. And resistance isn't something that is just a part of my life. It's something that the devil does to try to stop the plan of God. And I'm one of the people who speaks into the plan of God, or speaks out the plan of God. So when the enemy comes against that, I get real determined. And I get real determined to say what it is that he's saying, because I feel like the word's got to get out there. I don't know if you've ever been underwater too long. I've been underwater too long a few times, and I've never liked it. And by the time I come up, that instant that I break water and come out, I can breathe so deeply, I think that I'm going to suck in all the oxygen that's available in the air. And that's the sense that I have about this season that we're coming into. To expect to take a deep breath in the things of God, and when you exhale, you'll exhale the plan of God and the will of God and the word of God in your prayer life. There's an excitement. I would say there's an urgency. There's both. For those that are not close to the Lord, there's going to be a greater sense of urgency. Those that are closer to the Lord are going to have a greater sense of excitement from this message. The will of God, the glory of God, always does both. He moves us into a place to get excited, and if we're not there, He wants us to have a sense of concern, so we will get there. That's the feeling I get when I'm underwater too long. Is this that sense of, I've got to get some air, I've got to press up. Now, if I stay close to the surface and close to the air, I don't get that sense of urgency. So some of you today may not feel urgent Others are going to feel more urgent. Why? He's wanting to bring us into a place where we're in close fellowship with him without exception. This is from Isaiah 34, and I share from the Old Testament today because the Old Testament is much prophetic about the days that we live in. Scripture teaches us that God knows the end from the beginning. And Scripture teaches us that the Holy Spirit in our life wants to show us, tell us of things to come. We know of much of the Scripture that it says God's plan before we ever walk into it. I believe that when we look to the Scripture, and one of the ways the Holy Spirit uses my life is to look and to have a revelation of understanding of what time it is with God. And you want to say, well, that seems like a little unusual gift. I know it and I love it. I love unusual things. I enjoy unusual people. I enjoy unusual things that make a difference, not just oddities. This is not an oddity. It's an important thing in our life. Now, Isaiah 34:1 was speaking of eventual Armageddon in the earth, and we're not there yet. But when you watch the movies and so much of what's on television, there are so many stories about how the world will end. I find that interesting that the secular people pick up on that and begin to trump it up and play it up, and it stirs up and animates people. But they're picking up on something that is happening in the spirit realm. The world is careening toward an end of this age. For the church who are close to God, it's a day of deliverance and joy because it means graduating and going to heaven. But for those that don't know the Lord, it's a time to figure out how will we survive all of that. Well, Scripture teaches that the world as we know it's going to be destroyed and recreated, and there's going to be nothing survive it that's on the earth. It's going to change. Now, I'm not today preaching any doom or gloom. I'm just saying God has a way for us to think. And we need to look at how we're thinking and understand that for us, it is becoming a great joy. For the people of God, now, today I'm calling today in the year of recompense, or you could say the season of recompense. Because Scripture says as the world is coming to an end, in this age coming to an end, that God is going to bring a recompense in the earth. That means there's going to be payback. Well, there's an old saying, payback is hell. Well, if you're on the wrong side of this, that's pretty accurate. That would be exactingly accurate. But recompense when you're close to God is the opposite. It means that we're on the onward and upward, and that our life takes on more of an element of heaven, more of the supernatural, more of the blessing of God, more of the hope of our calling all the time. So in the earth, there's this great dividing that's occurring. We see it as conflict. The news calls it conflict. And all over the world's all these conflicts, and everybody tries to find an answer to it. And the only answer to it is go with God, because he's the one creating the division. Jesus said when he was alive on the earth that he didn't come for everything to be peaceful. He came to create division. Why? So that people would know there is a God to run to and cling to that wants to bless. And to get away from everything else to receive the blessing of God. This is a year where it becomes more apparent that we're walking closely with the Lord or not. And at first that sounds scary, because if we're away from God, it is scary. But God does that so people know who to come to. God does that so there's a safe place for people to be drawn to. God does that so there's a true church that doesn't stop preaching the word, that says it pays off to have a relationship of love toward the Lord God. Now, as we say this season, he said, let the earth hear and all that is therein. And this is a word for the whole world. This isn't just a word for the church. He says this is going to happen to the whole world. And all things that come forth of it. For it is a day of the Lord's vengeance. Well, that sounds scary and terrible. But the word vengeance there draws a direct parallel to an Old Testament story about Samson. Now, Samson was a man of God who strayed away from the goodness of God, strayed away from covenant. He got over in trouble, and he did that because he had self-interest. He kind of took advantage of being in relationship with God, and he said, I'm going to be God's man, but I'm going to do my own thing. And the day of vengeance that God's talking about was not vengeance on Samson, though it made Samson repent. You know, Samson and Delilah in the Bible story. And you know, he was sleeping with somebody he shouldn't have been. And he told the secret, and she cut his hair off, and he lost his eyes, and he got in all kind of trouble, but he recognized he was in trouble. And his hair grew back, and the power of God came back on his life again. And it's a picture of a season in his life of being drawn back to God because he lost something precious that he once had because he made a trade for it, and he decided it is not worth it to be apart from God. When he came back and his hair grew back, he said, "Before I go, God, let your power come on me one more time and let me do something that makes a difference for your kingdom." That's the kind of vengeance that God's talking about, where God has vengeance on the enemy by working through people who right now might even be separated from God, but he's drawing them back in. Not that they lose their hair or lose their eyes or anything else. It's not God's will that anybody lose anything to the power of the devil. But when we have a sense of loss, we want to get out of that mess. And this is a year of recompenses. That means there's going to be some folks who recognize their loss and they're drawn back into the kingdom. And whatever it is they lost, they're going to say, "This is not worth it anymore. God, let me do something that blesses your kingdom. Let me come back in where I feel that vitality of your spirit moving on my life to do something good for you." That's the vengeance God is talking about. But for people on the wrong side of it, when Samson was raised up by God, the temple of false gods that they were in came crashing down. And it's a picture of God having vengeance on the false gods, the false authorities, the false things in the earth. And it's a picture of this division we're talking about, of where God's saying, "Wait a minute, I'm going to show him that I am the God of all gods, and I'm going to do it through people." And God sovereignly moves on people. Don't you know Samson had a lot of advisors saying, "Samson, you dummy. If you'd been serving the Lord, you wouldn't be in such trouble." And Samson's just like, "Get out of my face. Get out of my..." Do you know anybody like that? "Get out of my way. Leave me alone. I'm not hearing that. I'm not doing that." But the Holy Spirit of God has a way of getting into the hearts of people. We call it a move of God. It's been a while since there's been one of these on our turf. But I perceive the power of God coming again to people. Some unsuspecting, some not knowing their hair is growing back, some not knowing that the love of God is going to pierce their heart again, because God's out to get vengeance on the devil that stole from those people who don't even know they're stolen from yet. Why, God wants to bless a whole house and take out the power of the enemy all at the same time. So this is a kind of vengeance that, so long as you are tender to the Lord, it'll be well for you. Samson, bless his heart, lost his life at the same time that he did what he did for the Lord. But we're in a new covenant. Jesus announced in the new covenant that it's the devil that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And it's God that gives life more abundantly. So if you know anybody in a Samson situation, they're not going to perish when they obey God. They're going to emerge. They're going to come out in new life. And they're going to see victory. And I believe for them, it'll be better than they expect. Why? I believe in pronouncing the blessing. I believe that it inspires us to believe God in our heart, and we turn. I believe that's what makes people turn out of a situation of despair. Now, he says vengeance, and then Samson, having been blessed by the Lord, put himself first. That's what so many have done in this day and age, but God wants to be first place again. Now, verse 8 continues, said, "And the year of recompenses." Now that word recompenses means both reward and retribution. That means that God is out to reward, but when the power of God hits a person who is not putting him first, they experience loss. They experience what feels like retribution. They experience what it feels like things caving in on them. Again, we're drawing back to the story of Samson in the temple. The bricks and the mortar of the place came in on the ones that were worshiping the wrong God. They weren't just not putting God first. They were worshiping false things. God has a way when he moves of making it clear who he is and how we stay in covenant with him. So recognize you're in line, and he's speaking. This is a word to the world. This isn't just a word to the church. This isn't pastor getting after church folks. This is for you to know what's coming. This is for you to know what it means when we pray for revival in the earth, when we pray for a move of God. When the glory of God comes on the people who are asking him, there's blessing. When the glory of God falls on everybody else, they experience what feels like a retribution. Why? God wants them to turn from their wicked way and worship him. Whenever we're not putting him first, he calls that wickedness. So for many, they say, well, I'm just taking a vacation from the things of God. That's wickedness. I've got other priorities in my life right now. He says that's wickedness. But many won't see it as wickedness until their life starts falling apart. And I'm here to tell you how the power of God works. For those who are worshiping him, they're not in the wrong temple. You know, when we worship wrong things, we kind of build our own temple around us and we say, I am the center of the universe. God's going to bless me, but I'm going to put this first and this first and this first. And as I have time to do the God thing, I'll show up once in a while. Watch the temple they have built around themselves come in on themselves. That's what this season is about, because God is wanting the false gods to be made low. So what does he do? He tries to draw people in before it ever gets bad. To come out of that wrong temple and come into the right one. To come out of that place of self-interest into, I'm going to put him first and he'll bless the rest. And that's the season that we're in. It's the same God. It's the same anointing. It's the same power. But we get according to how we position ourselves to him and to his authority. If we respect his authority, it brings good. When we don't, it's kind of like having the same teacher in the room when you're being good. Things are good. When you're talking out of turn, you get called on it. Or what I used to do is have little snacks in my desk, and if I'd get caught chewing, I'd get in trouble. What else you got in there? And she would not just say, spit out your gum. She'd open the desk, and whatever was in there, it was gone. Always, there's always a big old jawbreaker in there. She'd always take it away. Why do I say that? God wants us to line up with his authority so we get what we're supposed to get instead of going after something we don't need. Now, the year of recompense, think of it this way. I want to get the reward. I want to get the good. And then he continues, verse 8, for the controversy of Zion, or the controversy of the church. In other words, he's taking out the controversy. He's taking out the wishy-washy. He's taking out the gray space. I chuckle at the names of some TV shows as time goes on, and there was that title, 50 Shades of Gray. And I thought, they don't know when they name TV shows that they're prophesying some things and they're really making some pronouncements, because within the world, maybe there's all those shades. Within the church, there's come shades of division and people that are saying, oh, well, some of the scripture, it's outdated. We've got to go with the culture of the day. God does not embrace any culture except the kingdom. And the kingdom creates division with the world's culture and makes us think and do differently. So he's talking about this controversy, and the word there means a dispute, as having a quarrel with the law. In other words, God's opening up cases right now. There's a great caseload in heaven. One of the ways heaven is referred to, or a part of heaven, is called the courts of the Lord. In other words, there's going to be some cases opened in heaven for God's review to remove controversy from his church. God's saying, I'm going to let them know how I want things. I'm going to let them know what causes the blessing to come. I'm going to let them know that I need to be first. I'm going to let them know that all of this other stuff is a bunch of shenanigan, and it's confusing people as to who God is and how he thinks. And he's saying he's opening up some things in heaven. There's a bustling there to make wrong things right. Here's how that affects you. In your life, he wants to make whatever is wrong right. Whatever's been stolen by the enemy to be given back to you. Whatever has been messed with to be restored. Wherever your confidence has taken a hit, he wants to bring back the confidence of the Lord Jesus. I know in the cases of a number of Christians, many that I know, they've experienced a hit, a hurt, a loss, or something in the last year or two. It's payback time. Now, it's going to be payback according to how we draw near to the Lord, because that's where our faith comes from. I question sometimes, Lord, sometimes I know what I'm missing out on, other things. Other times I don't think it dawned on me what I might have somehow let go that I need to go back and get. But I've started to pray in faith. Lord, whatever it is you have for me to walk closely with you and fulfill your plan in my life, whatever is in the way for me fulfilling my destiny in you, I want it fixed. I don't know what it is. I mean, there's a lot we don't know. I don't know everything. But I've learned that he does. And when I begin to pray according to how he knows, I say, Holy Spirit, make wrong things right, fix this, because I see in the Word I'm not to be a person with controversy. That means if there's any cases pending in heaven connected to me, let's hear it out. Why? He's a God of loving justice toward us. He's not out to punish us. When we go before the throne, we're at the throne of grace, and Jesus is there to vouch for us. And he's saying, I called them to win. They belong to me. Jesus is saying, you belong to him. And when we go there belonging to him, heaven stands for our defense. But we have to open our mouth and say, I want what God wants. That's how the defensive team in heaven works for us. We have to say, I want what God wants. Well, what if I don't know what it is? That's faith. That's the best kind of faith, to know that we want what God wants even when we don't know. And then what we do is we work to find out. He tells us how to find out here in a little bit. But he says, this controversy will be settled in the courts of the Lord, and he'll make wrong things right for you. There are some wrong things in your life that only God can make right. And you'll know what they are. I don't know, don't need to know, doesn't require somebody else to know. It requires for us to be in agreement with God that it's going to come to pass. I believe that when we trust God this way, we have a surge forward and we grow and we come into an increase of the joy of the Lord. Now, this verse 16 is an important thing that I'm trying to talk about. Seek out the book of the Lord. Did you know that's our responsibility? He said, we have to seek it out. It will not be enough. It is not enough just to seek it out by coming to hear what Pastor has to say. I'll tell you really how the anointing of God works through the fivefold ministry is I'm supposed to say something that triggers you to seek it out. I'm supposed to stir you up to take action. I can't take action for you. I take action for me, and they say, I need to help them do that. I need to help them do what I'm doing. I need to help them follow what I believe the Holy Spirit's saying. And then I endeavor to bring that. But really all I'm doing is in a way tempting you to believe God, encouraging you to step out, encouraging you to seek it out in the book yourself. There's something about going into your own Bible study and rehearsing what you just heard. I don't think it drops down into our heart until we do that. Because here in what God is saying is he's moving among the whole earth, not just the church. And he's saying, seek out the book of the Lord. That's where direction comes that saves us. That's where correction comes that gets us out of trouble. That's where we experience the real move of God. The move of God can't happen externally. There can't be a great outbreak of miracles until there are miracles going on in our own hearts. There can't be some great outward flow of the power of God until things get right in the hearts and minds of individuals. And I would say it this way, we've got to get caught up in the goodness of God. We've got to get caught up in our walk. And that means we choose to be excited even when we're not excited. That means we choose to treat what we're doing for the Lord as the most important thing in our life. For you today, it might have meant that last night you laid out the clothes and went out and warmed up the vehicle and got all the snow off and filled it up with gas and did all these extra things to get here this morning, knowing that you might wake up this morning and not feel like it. Now, interesting that for many people, missing work would never happen. But missing church could. What is it? That's a picture of things getting out of whack. And God's saying, if we'll say the right thing, we'll begin doing the right thing. So I proclaim, I say right out of our mouth. That's why this morning I thank you for honoring the Lord. Because when we honor him, then he can do something in our life, and it's more direction than correction. When we honor the Lord, he tells us what to do to stay out of trouble. When we don't honor the Lord, he has to tell us what to do to get out of trouble. That's what he's saying here. Now, there's got to be a spiritual hunger that's driving us. And I'm going to tell you how this works. It's not that you're just going to come to a place where you're always spiritually hungry. You have to choose to maintain that. It's kind of like in our natural life, we have to choose to eat or we'll be hungry. In our spiritual life, we have to choose to be hungry or we won't eat. We have to choose to want the things of God. And the days, quite frankly, when I'm not feeling it, there are days that I'm just thinking, I've studied 20 hours this week and I'm tired of study. I just tell myself, no, we're going to go right now. We're going to find the nugget right now. We're going to find the best piece right now. That's what spiritual discipline looks like. Now, kids are going to join us in 7 minutes. We'll be ready. This is Isaiah 35. I'm just continuing along the same lines going into the next chapter. We take action if we want to line up with God's divine destiny. We don't just pray it in. It doesn't just happen. We take action, and he tells us it's not difficult action, but it's one that we won't feel like doing sometimes. Now, this is beginning in verse 1. The wilderness and solitary place shall be glad for them who, the people of God, the people that believe God to move, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. In other words, wherever you go, the people and the earth, even the land that you live on, ought to be blessed. I take that literally because it means so literally. It's talking about Israel, but it's talking about the people of God and the church. Wherever you go, it ought to be blessed. Well, what if that isn't happening for me? I'd get back to putting him first. Putting him first releases the blessing. That's how we walk in it. Whenever we're not walking in, when you say, Lord, have I put something in this self-temple around me that is more important to me than you? And I will say it this way, for many that walk the earth today, it's their job and their family. It's more important than they're putting God first. Now, you have to take an assessment, but I see a generation that grew up in church that's mostly walked away from the Lord because they weren't trained to put him first. Sometimes the family crisis becomes more important. I'm going to tell you, in a family crisis, if you don't put the Lord first, you'll keep having them. And they will get deeper and they will get worse and you will wonder, is there any way out? In a financial crisis, if you don't put the Lord first, it will get worse. You will find it will get worse. Why? It's like when we don't turn to him to maintain that blessing, we come under what feels like, what's happened to me? This isn't working for me anymore. When something's not working for me, it's because of me. It's not because of him. And I have to go back and correct my course a little bit. So he's talking about that here. He says, it shall blossom abundantly. I like the word abundantly. That means I will have a lot. And they shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Here's what we have to do. Strengthen yourself, the weak hands. In other words, put your hand to the right thing for the Lord and call it strong. Now, it means encourage to become strong and prevail. That means these hands are going to win. Everything I put my hand to is going to prosper is another way to say that. These hands are going to be in every battle that I enter, these hands are going to win. They're not going to be lacking anything. These are hands that bring out the blessing of God in the earth, not hands that run into trouble. Now, Andy says, and confirm the feeble knees. That means be determined and be strong. And we would say it today, get up off your butt. That's how we would say it today. Be strong and be brave. Why? Whenever we settle in and we're not conscious of actively doing something for the Lord, we're really not in the fight of faith anymore. He's talking about getting back in that. Then he says in verses 4 through 6, say to them that are of a fearful heart. Say to them that have given up. Say to them that have pulled back. Say to them that aren't doing anything to line up with God. Be strong and fear not. He's telling us to say some things. Sometimes you've got to say some things to your own self. And recognize what it is. The Holy Spirit speaking through you, to you, to change you. Because that's the power of the Holy Spirit. Behold, your God will come with a vengeance, even God with a recompense. There's that word again. God's going to come into the situation to make wrong things right. And he said, if we believe that, we're going to strengthen our hands and our knees and get up and start thanking him. Get up and start saying, stand to our feet and lift our hands and say, Lord Jesus, I'm in your flow. I'm in the divine flow. I'm not going to be taken out when judgment comes on the earth, but rather I'm going to rise to the top and proclaim your word. And I'm going to be like a lighthouse in the middle of a dark, wavy ocean where people know to steer their boat in this direction. And I'm going to help them and throw out the life raft to them and see many saved because of the will and word of God. And that's who we are, and that's what's happening. And you have to understand, it is not enough just to row, row, row your boat. It's time to say, Holy Spirit, take over control of my life and let me become a life raft to many. Let me be a lighthouse to many. Let me be the one calling those things that be not as though they were and say, it's safe over here. Come over here and fellowship with the Lord. And when people look, they say, it does look peaceful. It does look blessed. It does seem happy. So what do I do when the waves hit me? Speak out the word of God and rise up above the waves and recognize Jesus didn't say there wouldn't be storms. He said, though, when we speak the word and bring him into the boat, it'll get to our destination quickly. Your destination is this. The blessing is of God is on your life and on our life so that we are in that place of recompense, that we are between the blessing and the curse, calling people out of the curse into the blessing. That's what we're called to do. And there's going to be some waves, and there's going to be some turbulence, and there's going to be moments you think, I have to gulp for air myself. Well, come up and get some. Get back up on the boat of what God's doing. He said, when we strengthen our hands and our feeble knees, we're climbing back up on the boat and saying, I'm not going to sail this to my own destination. I'm going to let this be God's life raft of destiny for people, and I'm going to bring everybody in that I can, save as many souls as I can. Now, that sounds a lot like the gospel during the days of Hitler. I'm going to tell you, it's the same kind of time in the spirit where many are being slaughtered by the work of the enemy, and we're to be the people of God. And among even the German people in those days, there were some brave enough and bold enough to put their life on the line and their fortune out there to bring people in and save as many as they could. And such is today in the mind of the Lord. That's why he wants us to understand what time it is. We get too happy saying, oh, I'm going to get my blessing. We'll fall away from the blessing. Recognize the blessing is to turn your life into a life raft, not a little boat to yourself. Now, kids are any minute. All right. Be strong and fear not. Behold, he'll come with a vengeance and a recompense. He will come and save you. Faith prepares us for God to move on the scene. Because he is anyway. We want to be in the right position. We want to be in the right thinking. This is about right thinking. Jesus then makes wrong things right. When we're looking at this scripture, we're talking about the move of God in the earth because Jesus, Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is here to do something. He's here to comfort, but he's here to teach. He's here to do so many things that he can sort all of this out. But I believe we're coming into a season for many in the who are called to serve him and who are not, they'll need him to be their comforter. They're going to start feeling a need for comfort. I would anticipate there's never been a greater rate of addiction in the church, in the body of Christ, than there is today. I'm not talking about our local church. I'm talking about the church world. It's as high, maybe higher, than it is out in the public. Why? Because many feel a tug of God at their heart, and they don't know how to respond, and they're unwilling to give in because there's rebellion, a spirit of rebellion in the earth. That work of the enemy is being crushed, and it's crushed when we choose to make our life an offering, a living sacrifice for the Lord, and make the difference. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened. I look forward to that. I've seen that before. I'm anticipating that again. Why? He says what will happen when our hearts are right. When our hearts are right, blind people can come to church and get their eyes open. That's what he's saying. I like that. I think it's worth having my heart be right. The ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Well, I like that too. I've got a little bit of deafness here. When that happens, I'll tell you why. I believe it will happen. I believe that the word of God is so true that we underestimate. Why? Well, when I see it, I'll believe it. No, when we believe it, we'll see it. All right? That's how God works. Then shall the lame man leap as in heart, and the tongue of the dumb sing, for in the wilderness. That's what God's addressing, wilderness spaces. Shall waters break out and streams in the desert? This morning, we're going to pray. We're going to take action to break the hold of the wilderness, to break the hold of darkness. We're going to end in prayer that way over our lives, that we come out of this holding pattern that people get in. God was with the children of Israel in the wilderness and in the desert, but he didn't want them to stay there. He wanted them just to put him first and keep him first so he could get them out. When we put the Lord first and keep him first, he'll get us out of whatever's wrong. I'm going to tell you something else that happened when they left Egypt. They left with great riches, and they weren't spending them out in the desert. They were carrying them around. There are things God has for you to be released in your life when you come into his promised land. There are things that already belong to you, like the treasures of Egypt belonged to Israel. They had nowhere to use them because they did not come into the kingdom God had foreordained for them. When you come into full relationship with the Lord, the things that the enemy has stolen from you, the things that have been taken from you in a season of captivity, have to be returned to you, because God's blessing lines up with his will. And what he's really doing is saying, if we'll put him first, here's the message of the day. Here's the word of the hour. Here's the one thing that we must do. Put him first and keep him in first place. When we do that for him, the enemy cannot hang on to what he has stopped from coming in your direction. If it's your family and relationships that are hurting, the enemy can't keep people in captivity. If it is a loss of finances, the enemy can't keep that in captivity. If it is a loss of lifestyle and you're finding you have to work harder, he can't keep you in captivity to that. Those are the ways of the world and the ways of Egypt. But there's a wilderness. And I'm going to tell you, if you're born again and you're not experiencing the blessing, it's a wilderness place. Jesus tells us here we can come up out of that by putting him first. And when we do, when they did, they came out. They came out of the wilderness. They had to see the walls of Jericho, but they were carrying treasure that suddenly had value. If you feel undervalued or depressed, it's simply because you don't know how much God has invested in you and what treasure you're carrying in your heart, and that your life is hid with Christ in God, and that's about to be revealed. That's about to come out. And for you, it's a matter of choosing, I'm coming up out of this wilderness. If you hear a message like this and it doesn't do something for you, you're in a wilderness. Well, I know it's the Holy Spirit speaking it, because he said very clearly, lead the children out of the wilderness that I might let them spend what it is I've put in their heart to do for me, and the currency of the kingdom will come alive in the earth, and then these things can come to pass, which is the latter day move of God, which is why we're here after all, and why God's blessing us, and why we're determined to be here this morning, is somehow deep inside of us, we know there is a purpose of God on my life. No matter what I'm feeling, no matter what I'm seeing, no matter what happens in the world, I'm not going to give up, and I'm going to be a part of the revival that's coming, and I'm going to stand for the things of God, because right is right and wrong is wrong. And I find myself in this place in the middle where I can bring people out of the fire and see them saved and brought into the kingdom. That's what we're all about. Stand to your feet as we pray. Heavenly Father, this morning, thank you for your pronounced blessing, your commanded blessing on this house. Father, for every person that takes action to make things right with you simply. You said it simple, put you first. And when we put you first, we seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness, and these things will be added. You've promised us that things will be added by simply putting you first, seeking you first, following you first, elevating you as first, and tearing down the walls of this wilderness of self interest. We'll not look to ourselves first, not our job, not our family, not anything that's personal to it. We look to you first, Lord Jesus. And Father, thank you. This morning is a day of celebration in the kingdom, because we know who our King is. He is King Jesus, and we are part of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of light, and the kingdom of blessing. Father, I thank you that your pronounced blessing be on every house, every family, every person present here today, in Jesus' name. Amen.
We pray that today you were challenged to move closer to God and encouraged with the depth of his love for you. If you would like to know more or hear additional messages, please call us at 217-395-2231. You can also write to us at Living Word Church, P.O. Box 158, Roberts, Illinois, 60962. or visit our website at gotolwc.org. And as always, we would love to have you join us on Sundays at 10 a.m. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May He make His face to shine upon you and give you peace.